Welcome to week two of our Red Letter Challenge. This last week, I trust you began to develop the habit of reading your red letter book every day. We started off easing you into this challenge with a quick overview of all the main themes, the five main themes. And this week, you're going to start reading more scripture and tracking more daily challenges as we begin to dive deeper into the Red Letter Challenge. I encourage you to make it a priority to read your guidebook every day. And know this, even if you miss a day, don't get down on yourself. Just pick up your book the next day and carry on the journey. This challenge is built around the words of Jesus and his teaching. And like we shared last week, and as you may have learned this week, there are five main principles, five main areas that we're going to learn about and begin to put them into practice. How many of you remember what those five principles are? If you do, maybe you could say them with me. There's being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. I don't know, did you get all five? Anyways, like I said, for each of the next 5 weeks, we're going to take 1 week per target, per principle, all right? And so this week, we start with being. Being is the principle that all the other principles hinge on. Being is the foundation of everything that we're going to do because our doing flows from our being. Jesus is going to ask us to do a lot during this challenge. But before we do anything, we need to understand that Jesus does not invite us into a religion. He invites us into a relationship. Let me say it again. Jesus invites us into a relationship, not a religion. And this inviting starts early in the gospel accounts of Jesus' earthly ministry. And so I want to read to you Matthew chapter 4. Yes, Matthew chapter 4, beginning verse 18. Sorry, had a momentary lapse there. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and followed him. Share with you a little story about rowing, if you would. One of the most elite sports in the world is this sport of rowing, the kind that you see in the Olympics and in the World Championships for rowing. The aim of the sport is really, really simple and basic. The first boat, the first set of rowers to cross the finish line wins the race. That's normal for any race. Although there's a key difference in the sport of rowing. In most other races, people run their race and they keep their eye on the finish line. But rowing is totally different. In fact, none of the rowers are actually looking at the finish line. As a matter of fact, their backs are facing the finish line. And in an 8-man boat, the rowers are not focused on the finish line. Rather, they're focused on a person who's sitting at the far edge of the rowing boat, and this person is called the cox. The cox is literally like a conductor of the entire rowing team. He alone, the cox alone, has his eyes fixed on the finish line and sees what the other boats in the competition are doing. The key to winning a race in rowing comes down to the relationship between the rowers and the cox. Typically, when a rowing team wins the race, it's the cox that people will celebrate because he led his team, he called a good race. Our walk with God is very much like being in a rowing boat. As we look to Jesus and trust him, he will lead us, he will guide us, and bring us across the finish line. And so in this story that we just read in Matthew, Jesus calls his first disciples and he says to them, follow me. He says to them, come be with me. Looking at Jesus is the most productive thing that we can do in our lives. And Jesus called the disciples to come with him, to follow him, to be with him. And as they were with him, he would teach them. And throughout Jesus' time with his disciples, he would take the opportunity over the course of 3.5 years to teach and instill in them some very important principles about being with Jesus. And so I'm just going to quickly point a couple out to you today, and then we're going to dig even a little deeper. But one of the things Jesus said to his disciples was, not just follow me, not just come with me, but abide in my word. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Another thing that Jesus taught his disciples was the need for prayer and to pray intently. And in Luke 18:1, Jesus tells his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Jesus taught us that we should worship and serve the Lord. Jesus answered in Luke 4:8, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then here's a unique one. Jesus told his disciples, it's okay to come and rest with me. In Mark 6:31, it says, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he, Jesus, said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And I think sometimes that's the one we have a hard time with. We can be busy doing, we could be busy accomplishing something, but this idea of coming away and resting with Jesus, I think sometimes we struggle with that. We kind of feel guilty if we're just going to rest and relax and recharge. Jesus also talked about fasting in Matthew 6:17. He said, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. In other words, just blend in. Don't stand out from the crowd, but you need to fast. And here's another one that we should all learn to put into practice. And Jesus told the disciples and us to enjoy the Sabbath. In Mark 2:27, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made so that you and I could rest, relax, recharge, renew, and spend time with Jesus. All of these ways are about the ways that we can spend time to be with Jesus. You see, Jesus wants you to spend time with him. There's another story that Luke records for us in his gospel. It's Luke 10, verses 38 and onward. It says this, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is a great story. But there's a small problem here between these sisters. So Mary and Martha, we're assuming they lived together, but at least we know that Martha opened up her home, invited their friend Jesus to come, and like a good hostess, she wanted to make sure everything was done well, and she was, you know, making sure there was food. She was possibly in the kitchen area cooking up a storm and wanted to have a nice spread while Jesus was sitting in the living room, just hanging out with his friends, probably teaching or sharing some great truths. And Martha's all around hustling and bustling and getting tired. And Mary is nowhere to be found. And that's got Martha upset. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's hanging on every word that he is probably saying. And she's just enjoying being in his presence. And as we read it, you know, Martha said, Jesus, tell her to help me. And Jesus said, oh, why? Why are those things are important, but Mary has chosen the most important thing. She is being with me, Jesus said. She is with Jesus. As Jesus' followers, you will get to a place where you will want to do things for Jesus and follow the things he says. Your desire to do things for Jesus comes out of your relationship with him and gratitude to him. Doing for Jesus flows out of being with Jesus. See, before we can become people of action, we need to be people of the word. Before we can do things that Jesus asks, we need to understand his purpose. Before we can follow what he says, we need to know his heart, and we do that by being with him. Before we do what Jesus asks us to do, we need to be with him. This being could be synonymous with the idea of spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are good habits that you practice in your life that allow you to connect with Jesus and with God. These disciplines have been practiced for centuries by many followers of Jesus down through the ages. The healthiest way for you to follow Christ and to seek him first is to put a high priority on being with Jesus rather than doing. Doing is important, but doing for Jesus needs to flow out of being with Jesus first. So here's what I'm asking you to do as we embark on the first full week of the Red Letter Challenge. I'm asking you to prioritize Jesus. Find ways to be near him, to learn from him. Instead of always doing like a Martha, which there's time for it and place for it, take time to sit at his feet and hear what he says, just like Mary. You do the things that will get you close to Jesus. I want to share with you some spiritual disciplines. Maybe you're already practicing these. Maybe you know about them, but you haven't put them into practice. Or maybe you're hearing about them for the first time. No matter what, I want you to feel comfortable knowing that through the centuries, people who want to be with Jesus have been following these practices. And the first one is really foundational to our faith. And you read the Bible. You intentionally schedule a time in your day where you can spend in the Word of God. See, the Bible is where Jesus speaks to you, where the Holy Spirit points things out, and where you can know more about the heart and the character of God the Father. Make sure that you work your way through the Red Letter Challenge book like we talked about a few minutes ago, that you have 34 more days in this challenge. So determine today that every day for the next 34 days, I'm going to read my scripture and my devotional reading in the book. And once we pass the Red Letter Challenge, you don't have to end there. You can follow reading plans to help you read your way through the Bible. YouVersion is a free app that you can download. It's got numbers of plans you could follow. You can go to our website and our resource page, and you can download reading plans there. You may want to journal what Jesus says to you. Some people journal every day. I journal sporadically. But whatever works in your schedule, you need to make it intentional. You need to intentionally set aside some time to be with Jesus. So you read your Bible, you pray. They kind of flow together. So once you get in the habit of reading, you'll automatically flow into a time of prayer. And maybe you're watching today and you say, you know what? I'm not really a person of prayer. I don't really pray much. It's okay. Start with a minute. Read the Red Letter Challenge. Read your devotional book. read the scripture and the stories that are there, and then just end with 1 minute of prayer. And next week, add a minute, go to 2 minutes. And by the time you get to the end of the red letter challenge, in 5 weeks from now, you'll be able to pray for 5 minutes. And here's some things that you could pray about. You pray about whatever you read. If the Holy Spirit brings something to your heart, pray about that into your own life. Keep a list of prayer requests. You might think of things, or you might think of people, or you might start to pray and God will drop somebody into your mind or into your heart. Pray for them, even if it's just for a few seconds. And you can come up with a prayer plan. Every day of the week, you might pray for some different things. You'll pray one day for your family, one day for the church, one day for missionaries, one day for your friends. Like you come up with whatever works for you. We've even made a prayer manual at the church, and we've put it together. It's called Pray First, and you can find it on our website under resources and under prayer. And so just go there, download it. You can read it. You can print it for yourself if you want. So you need to pray, and then you need to get into a small group. Now, you say, well, that's not down through the centuries. Yes, there have been groups of Christians getting together from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In fact, his 12 disciples were his small group. Think about it for a minute. He called them to follow me, to come be with me. And Jesus taught them for 3.5 years, and he instilled in them the truth of God the Father and a full understanding of grace and salvation and forgiveness. They were his small group. And we do the same thing. You see, life and relationship with Jesus is sometimes too hard to go it alone. You have to do it with other people. And other people gives you encouragement. It may even give you accountability. There'll be somebody for you there when you have to share something that's hard. There'll be people there to rejoice when things are good. There'll be people there to lift you in prayer. You'll be able to help somebody else through a hard time. We need to do life together. And the best way is in a small group with other believers who want to be with Jesus. You need to do life with others who will encourage you and pray with you. It's not too late to get into a Red Letter Challenge small group. They started last week, but it was just the introductory week. So if you missed it, jump in this week. Contact us. Text us. Call us if you need help. Email us. And we will help connect you into a group. And another thing we can do in our spiritual discipline is that you need to attend church regularly and make it a priority. Now, I know this is a very different time, but all through, even in the New Testament, we were told to gather together. And I know that we're living in an unusual time. We're fighting a pandemic, and large groups are not always safe. And even though we have an in-person service, we follow the protocols to make it safe. And right now, you're watching me. We're live streaming, or we're giving you an online service because it's too hard for you to gather in a building right now. We understand that. So here's what I'm going to say to you. Make sure that tuning in every Sunday morning at 10:30 is the priority you make. Unless you're working or there's something, that's okay. But try to always tune in Sunday morning at 10:30. It builds that habit. And then once we're free of the pandemic, once we're free of the things that can cause us to be worried, and once we're able, we can gather back together, and you'll already be in the habit of gathering at 10:30 or on Sunday mornings and being together with us. And while you're watching us, join the chats. Encourage each other. If you hear something that speaks to you, put it in the chat. Say, good point, bad point. Pastor, why are you rubbing your nose all the time? Because it's itchy, right? Whatever it is, but jump in the chats and talk to each other. We're putting a chat there for you so you can at least not be alone and know that you're with other people. And the chats only work when we go live at 10:30 on Sunday. So make sure you do that. Another thing that you could do in the practice of your life is you can listen to worship music. Try to find some part of every day where you could tune into worship music that will feed your spirit. It will feed your soul. I'm not saying you must only listen to worship music. You can listen to any music you want. Just make sure whatever music you're listening to is not destroying your spirit. All right? Just make sure it's uplifting and edifying. Redeem the time that maybe you're stuck in a car. You know, there's only so many traffic reports you could listen to, or you can be sitting in the middle of a traffic jam. You don't need somebody to tell you. So you can put on some music that will edify and uplift you and build you up. And then take your Sabbath. Take time every week to rest. Get away from work. And use your Sabbath to connect even more with Jesus. Watching this service or attending a service will help. Use this day to refresh your heart and your spirit and your body. It's okay. God told us to rest. I know that this sounds possibly like a list of do's, and that's not what I'm intending. I really want you to see that there are different ways to be with Jesus. There are different ways where you could just take time to shut out the world and shut out all the things that are bombarding you every day and take time to be with Jesus. See, it's all about being. It's all about finding time to be with Jesus, to love God, and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your soul and your spirit. See, if you do not make time, if you do not put a priority on making time for God in your life, you won't have any time for God. It's not going to just miraculously appear. You need to schedule it in. You need to make it a priority. See, before you can think of doing or serving or giving or going for Jesus, you must start with being with Jesus. Jesus is inviting you to come, follow me, come, be with me. Will you accept his offer today? Maybe you've been watching this morning, and as I've been talking about being with Jesus, you're saying to yourself, I don't really know Jesus. I kind of know about him. I kind of have an inkling about church and about the Bible. Maybe you don't really know too much. Maybe these stories I shared with you today are the first time you've ever heard them. But regardless of that, I want you to know that Jesus says to you what he said to the fishermen on the shore of the Sea of Galilee that day, come, follow me, come, be with me. Jesus is inviting you into a relationship with him. And if you're watching today and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus, would you help me? Yes, I would be glad to help you. Do me a favor, grab your cell phone right now and just send me a text. Text the keyword love to our number, 416-267-1189. And if you text that and follow the prompts, we will be in touch with you. We want to help you begin a relationship with Jesus. We want you to be a follower of Jesus. We encourage you to spend time getting to know Jesus. All right, so just reach out to me, to our church. Just text us that word love. All right? I look forward to hearing from you. Let's pray as we close this morning. Father, we thank you today that you sent Jesus into our lives and into this world so that we could be with Jesus. Lord, help us this week as we set time, as we make it a priority to spend time reading the Bible, reading the devotionals, spending time in prayer, spending time being with Jesus. Refresh our soul, refresh our spirit. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.